You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Oh, yeah. Woot, woot. How's it hanging?
Woot, woot, I'm... woot, woot.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, what?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Look, fine.
Here we
Just
are.
Just go with it.
It's the podcast that it is. What do we call this show?
It's Behind the Bastards, and clearly you're not qualified to host it today.
Oh,
so we'll let Chris handle that.
I thought this was This American Life. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
I prepared the wrong.
Boy howdy.
Well, yeah.
That's okay. I have plenty of war crimes to go around.
This American Life, my This American Life episode is way too horny to go on this podcast feed. That would not be welcome. Okay. Well, I will send this back to NPR. And Chris, are you cool with taking over today?
Yep. It's me, Christopher Wong, and we're back for Reverend Moon Part 2, The Attack of the Nazi Death Squads.
I mean, cool.
It's a good time. In 1980, Klaus Barbie, the Butcher of Lyon and Nazi torturer extraordinaire, was getting nervous. French Nazi hunters were starting to close in on his bolt hole in Bolivia, where he'd tortured communists for the CIA and also the West Germans for decades. Worse still, the possibility of a democratic government in Bolivia meant he faced extradition to France, who wanted his head on a platter for, among other crimes, killing 14,000 people and personally sending Jews to concentration camps. So, when Barbie was approached by a group of cocaine producers to stage a coup against the elected government, Barbie was in. That coup, which saw Nazis rampaging through the streets, looting stores and warehouses and murdering people where they stood, put General Carlos Menza in charge of a military dictatorship. Klaus Barbie's coup was infamously known as the cocaine coup for its cartel backing. But Bolivian intelligence reports showed another further source of support. $4 million from one Reverend Sung Myung Moon.
Oh boy.
Nazi death squad funder extraordinaire.
Yeah, I mean, and I gotta be honest, as a cult, getting in with the CIA, pretty you know, smart move.
I will say this, there is actually no evidence that Moon ever directly worked with the CIA. And this
well,
is
sure,
really impressive.
If you're working for the same goals as the CIA,
I think it's
one less thing that could fuck you
up. Yeah, I do think this is an important distinction to draw because there are a lot of sources that you will read that will claim that the Moonies are a CIA front, and they're not a CIA front. Like, insofar as they're a front group for anything, it's the Korean CIA.
Yeah.
And that's important because it means that, it means that there's a lot of other American intelligence agencies who, like, are really mad at them. But B, it means that, yeah, their goals are very, very often aligned with the CIA, but they're not really a cutout for them. They have sort of their own thing going on. And that own thing is overthrowing the government of Bolivia. Now, Bohipak, who's Moon's like invaluable aide and translator, visits La Paz that year and proclaimed, "I have erected a throne for Father Moon in the world's highest city," which is great.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so the church also attempted to organize a 7,000-member, like 7,000-strong armed church, similar to what they'd attempted to organize in Brazil. And, you know, this was there to support the coup. And after the coup, Carlos Meza and Moon, like, visit each other, and this is like around the time that Reagan got shot. And so they spend a night praying together for Reagan's health. Now, fortunately for Bolivia and unfortunately for Moon, he'd picked a loser in Meza, whose government collapsed in 1982 amid a hail of coups and protests.
Yeah, you know, you can't pick them all, you know?
Yeah, Moon has a really bad track record with picking military dictators. It's sort of funny, but this unfortunately was just the beginning of Moon's career as a sponsor of international terror and Nazi death squads. Now, in 1980, Bohipak and Kim Song-in, who is the former Korean CIA station chief in Mexico City, founds an organization, the Confederation of Associations for the Unity of the Societies of America, and an absolutely nonsense name that they created.
That's too long.
Yeah, it's awful.
That means nothing at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So they created it just so that it could have the acronym CIUSA. Now, CIUSA rapidly becomes a meeting place for just the worst mass murderers in Latin America. They held their first meeting in the military the military dictator Alfredo Stroessner's Paraguay. Bohipak said of Stroessner, quote, "I believe he's a special man chosen by God to run his country." Stroessner like did a genocide against the Aché people and also like did Operation Condor, among other things. We will get more into Condor in a second. Yeah. Also attending CIUSA conferences was Domingo Monteresa, the head of El Salvador's Atacatl Battalion, who is best known for doing the El Mazote massacre.
Those are some war crimers right there.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So Monterosa, interestingly, is also trained by another member of the World Anti-Communist League, Taiwan, whose army also is training death squads, like sort of parallel. I mean, some of this you're doing it through the league, some of it's doing it independently, but they're also training like death squads across Latin America. Now, it's unclear to me if Monterosa like actually received money from Moon, but like basically every other right-wing, like large-scale right-wing organization and death squad in El Salvador absolutely.
He seems like a pretty
did.
Easy guy to get money from if you're making death squads to kill communists.
And we're gonna go through many, many death squads. Yeah, and you know, so he gives a bunch of money to right-wing groups in El Salvador, and they do atrocities with it. Now, we also need to talk about Operation Condor. So Operation Condor is an anti-leftist assassination network originally developed by Chilean intelligence in 1975. Eventually, it has like Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Brazil, and also to a lesser extent like Ecuador and Peru in it. And Condor, like if you count everyone who was killed while Condor was going on by like the government's doing it, it killed tens of thousands of people. The rest of tortures like hundreds of thousands more. And so this is where things get complicated. A lot of Operation Condor is run out of a group called the CAL, which is the original Latin American section of the World Anti-Communist League. The CAL is founded by a group called Los Tecos, who are a Mexican neo-Nazi death squad who are famous for just like showing up and murdering leftists. The league basically like finds this group and they're like, "Oh, hey, you like killing communists." And so they task the Tecos with assembling just the most bloodthirsty Latin American death squads they can find. And, you know, they go and do this. And this is the basis of the organization of like Latin America, like the Latin American part of the World Anti-Communist League. Now, the World Anti-Communist League formally expels the CAL in the early 1980s because they're trying to go like slightly more legit, although they never get rid of, you know, like the Ustashi people or the Iron Guard or any of the other like fascist groups in it. But, you know, so they expel the CAL because people are like, "Hey, these guys are, you know, doing Condor and assassinating people." But it's notable that so Moon technically leaves the league in 1975 and he gives the speech about how the league is he calls it, quote, a fascist organization, which is true. But the problem is that, like, this is all just political theater. Moon never leaves the league. Like, he makes this big speech about it, but his people still run the league's chapter in, like, they still run the chapter in Japan. They're heavily involved in the U.S. chapter, and Moon is, you know, like, Moon and his friend organizations are still just doing all of the, like, they're still running meetings with them. They're still organizing with them. And Moon also never actually disavows the CAL. So the other thing that's worth noting is that, so Condor starts in 1975, right? The league doesn't disavow the CAL until the mid-80s, which means that there's a lot of time where the CAL is being actively funded by the World Anti-Communist League. And this is where it's kind of murky, because it's difficult to tie Moon directly to Condor.
I mean, that's generally how it's going to be with the people who fund death squads and the death squads.
Well, you'd think that every other death squad I'm about to mention, we have direct evidence of him funding.
Condor, okay, well then maybe he didn't, you know what,
yeah,
maybe,
well,
he found his limit.
So I say this, so there's two things that suggest to me that he did do it. One is that his money absolutely was going to the CAL, which was carrying it out, because him and Sasakawa's like Japanese branch of the World Anti-Communist League are one of the big funders of the organization. So he's at the very least indirectly funding them. And also, Moon and his organizations are, like, in tight with, they're either working with the government or the far right in Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, and Brazil, which means that, weirdly, the only Condor government they aren't working with is Chile. And I don't know what's going on there, because I kept expecting Pinochet to show up, and he never does. I don't know why. Pinochet's like, he's the one right-wing leader in all of Latin America who I cannot find any contact with Moon. It's very strange.
It's like watching a movie without a heist and wondering where, like, what it is. The guy from ER, you know who I'm talking about. Jesus, I'm not good with names today. Sophie, who's the guy? George Clooney.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
not at all. But great. So Pinochet never shows, but Moon is working with every single other Condor government. So there's a good enough chance that Moon is involved in this that I think we have to mention it, because I don't know. It's like, I think, like, My guess is there's, like, I mean, other than his indirect stuff through the CAL, I think there's, like, probably a 2 out of 3 chance that he's funding them, because that's just who he's in with. What we do know for sure is that he's working with General Gustavo Alvarez Martinez, who was made the head of the armed forces in Honduras in 1981 to murder a leftist guerrilla group. Alvarez just immediately starts torturing, murdering, and disappearing people. He also trained, funded, and equipped the Contras, which we will get back to in a second. Because,
this was a beautiful time and place to have tens of millions of dollars, because you just could buy armies up wholesale, send them off to murder people, and, you know, mountainous countries. It was a real, what a time to be alive.
And the other thing about this, you know, the world is really your oyster, because the drug trade exists, right? But the drug trade is not bringing in, like, quite as much money as it's going to by, like the late 80s and 90s. So which means that, like, you know, your like random cult actually has enough money to, like, you know, you can outbid the drug dealers, basically. So Moon, like, looks at Alvarez's government, and he's like, okay, I have an in here. And so he goes to Tegucigalpa to, like, start preaching about theologically resisting communism, which just means, you know, being the unification church. And there's an interesting thing here, where this is a period where a lot of Latin American right-wingers are turning away from Christianity, because they're watching the liberation theology turn in the Catholic Church. And they see this and they go, okay, well, the Catholic Church is being infiltrated by communists, it's coming soft on communism. Like, a lot of these sort of, like, leftist, like, Catholic priests are, you know, running their own militia groups. And so the right wing in Latin America starts looking for, like, another religious thing they can get into. And Moon is like, hey, it's me. Look, I have a church. We're Christian, sort of, kind of. Don't look too closely at the I'm the Messiah behind the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, this works pretty well. And, you know, he has Bohi Pak hand Alvarez a check for $50,000. Alvarez hilariously is forced to return the check after the Episcopal Conference in Honduras is like, hey, why are you taking money from a guy who literally claims to be the Messiah? and they get like they get really mad at him.
That would be awkward. Yeah. Like if you actually think about what he says about God and Jesus, it could be awkward to take money from this guy.
Yeah, you know, and shout out, you know, okay, we have to give credit to the Hondurans here because in the U.S. this is not going to happen. Like in the U.S., the Christians are just going to like take they're going to take Moon's money hand over fist, but the Hondurans are like, no, we're drawing the line at the Messiah guy. But, you know, this doesn't, you know, Moon keeps working with Alvarez. He just, you know, gives the check back. But unfortunately, Alvarez gets sacked by the government after the FBI reveals a conspiracy by Alvarez and his allies to overthrow the government on the behest of drug dealers, which, you know, sounds suspiciously like another coup that we've talked about today. He keeps getting involved in the same coup and it keeps just not working. It's just like. It's pretty incredible. Undeterred, Moon continues to spend an enormous amount of time and money in Honduras preaching anti-communism through democratization, which is, again, hilarious from a guy who has multiple times on record saying that democracy is favored by Satan. But, you know,
okay.
Like, welcome to the Cold War.
But okay.
So, and now we come to the mother of all Cold War conspiracies, Iran-Contra. Because, yeah, it turns out Moon did Iran-Contra. So, all right, to set the stage a little bit, in 1979, the U.S.-backed Somoza dictatorship was overthrown by a revolution that left the left-wing Sandinistas in power. And the Sandinistas start doing things like, you know, nationalizing all of Somoza's land and, you know, like promoting public education. And the U.S. looks at this and goes, we need to murder literally every single person involved with this.
Yeah, that scans. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, opposing the Sandinistas are this group called the Contra Revolucionarios, or the Contras. Now, even before Congress, you know, Congress eventually starts banning, like, puts a ban in on all U.S. funding of the Contras because the Contras are doing things like murdering babies and blowing up grain silos to starve the population.
Like, you know, death squad stuff.
Yeah. It's good. They're really...
Oh, like your death squads don't.
They're, you know, I will say this. The Contras, well, okay. I want to say the Contras are bad by death squad standards, and that's true, but also, like, the other death squads are, we're going to get to the Guatemalans in a bit. And oh my God, also the stuff the Salvadorian National Guard is doing is.
Yeah. I mean, when you're death squads, it's not necessary to like kind of ply the romance or the moral differences between them. They're all.
Yeah.
Once you hit that death squad level, you're a death squad, you know?
Now, CAUSA, which is that Frank group, Moody Frank group I talked about earlier, starts contracting like a bunch of Contra leaders to offer them to like help unite the Contra factions. Fernando El Negro Chamorro, who's one of the major Contra leaders, goes on a Moody sponsored trip with other Contra leaders. And Chamorro like turns down the money because he's like, I don't want the strings attached with it. But a lot of other Contra leaders, including Stedman Fagoth, like take tens of thousands of dollars in cash and just like tons of food and supplies from Moon. And the CAUSA basically keeps Stedman and like the other Contra factions like in the fight, like long enough, you know, because all these factions, like they get their CIA money like turned off. Right. And they're in real crisis, and Moon keeps them in the fight until Iran-Contra can kick in, which is horrifying because Moon is directly responsible for everything that's going to happen in Nicaragua, like from this period on, because if he's not funding these guys, like these guys, a lot of these groups fall out of the war, but you know, he's there to bridge the gap. And yeah, before we fully get to Iran-Contra, there's one more thing I should mention, which is that there's some evidence that American students from the Church of Student Movement, like there's some evidence they fought for the Contras. I can't really confirm it. There seems to be credible evidence that like individuals went to go fight for them, but it's unclear if it's like a mass thing the church was promoting or if it was just sort of an individual thing. We do know the church claims to have been sending people into Nicaragua to like preach. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. If you raise a large group of people to believe that like this is a fight that they personally need to be involved in, and like is a bunch of them go over and fight, it's a great way to make that. It's the same thing we see with like Rhodesia, where it's like, well, did this organization send fighters? No, but they created propaganda that convinced people to go fight there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, this didn't make it into the cut of the episode, but his newspaper, the Washington Times, big Rhodesia fans, big apartheid South Africa fans.
it was the shorts.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about him directly funding them, but yeah, he's on their side in principle. Okay, so now we need to talk about Iran-Contra. I'm going to do like the shortest version of Iran-Contra anyone has ever done. So there's four parts. Part one is Oliver North gets $10 million from the Sultan of Brunei, who is the world's most feted out monarch. And then his secretary puts the money into the wrong bank account and lights it on fire. So just some random Swiss banker gets $10 million. They can't get the money back. And the Sultan of Brunei, is like,
very funny.
It's funny because the Sultan of Brunei is the most CIA guy, like outside of the CIA that has ever existed. And even he was like, you just put $10 million in the wrong bank account. Like, I'm not going to give you any more money.
Fucking Oliver North. Dipshit. Yeah,
<it's> great. So part two after that part plan fails is Oliver North basically is secretly negotiating with the Iranian government to covertly buy American to sell the Iranian government American missiles, and then part three is they take the money they get from selling those missiles and they put it in like a black ops slush fund, and they move that money to the Contras. Now part four is creating a cover story for where that money came from. And Moon is neck deep in part four. Bohipak gives $100,000 to Oliver North's Nicaraguan Freedom Fund, a fund also backed by Pod alum Soldier of Fortune magazine. It's a good time. And the Moonies also, like, they set up their own fundraiser for the Contras, and they're also working with the Anti-Communist League's fundraisers and logistics networks. And the Anti-Communist League one is the big one that Reagan uses to go, oh, hey, see all this CIA money we're pouring in there. That's not from the CIA. See, this is a grassroots anti-communist campaign. And, you know, I mean, like, and they do actually raise some money. It's just that they don't raise Iran-Contra money. Now, not content to just do Iran-Contra, the Moonies sent a fake priest to testify before Congress, claiming that the Sandinistas were dressing up as Contras and doing false flag massacres to discredit the Contras.
That seems plausible. That's got to be what's happening, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
So there's a funny guys. Thing. So this guy claims to be from the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is like, this is not one of our guys. And he's like, no, I'm from the Orthodox Catholic Church. And everyone's like, what? And the Orthodox Catholic Church apparently is this like, it's this group in like,
are they people who thought Vatican II went too far and like the church has gotten cucked?
It's weirder than they're like this really weird, like very old, like splinter faction with eight people in it in Scotland for some reason. And like, it's unclear if he's even involved with them, but what they do find is a bank account with like a bunch of money in it that one of Moon's friend organizations that this guy was mysteriously paid. So that was fun. And the other thing that they do is CIUSA produces a pro-Contra documentary film called Nicaragua Was Our Home that airs on PBS in 1985 to drum up support for the war. Lee Shapiro, who's the dude who made the film and a fanatical Moon supporter who graduated from the Unification Theological Seminary, because the Moonies have a school now, and I should mention they have multiple schools. Like there's just multiple colleges that they run.
I mean, yeah, you get a cold that like, big across the world, do have to start directly training the children at some point.
That's
for sure.
It's great. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Lee is killed near Kabul while embedded with Hezbollah Islami to make Christ. A propaganda film about the Mujahideen. Now,
you know what? Go off, King. Absolutely. Get killed by Hezbollah in Afghanistan in Afghanistan.
Well, Hezbollah Islami is like probably the worst of the African Afghan Mujahideen factions.
It's not a good one.
During the Civil War, just in the shelling of Kabul alone, they kill at least 25,000 civilians. Like it's there. And it's interesting because so Lee like goes out into Afghanistan, like trying to find a Mujahideen group who will let him work with him. And all of the Mujahideen groups are like, no, like we will not work with you. Like,
I don't know if you know this about Mujahideen in general, but if you say sometimes God's wrong and I tell him and he's like, oh, stupid me. This is why I go to you, buddy. If that's your religion, a lot of Mujahideen might have issues with you.
Yeah. And the only people who will take him are
the worst dudes out there.
The worst people in the entire Mujahideen who are, so there's an angle here that I couldn't find direct evidence of, but like, so this is, he's embedded with the faction that's like being backed by Pakistan. And there might be some kind of incredibly convoluted anti-communist angle there. I wasn't able to find it, but yeah. This guy's involved with literally everything
as
ever.
A rule,
so
if you're sending guns to Afghanistan, you're one of the bad guys. Now, yeah. Does that mean that basically everyone involved in Afghanistan for the last 40 years have been the bad guys? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's a lot of shitty people sending guns to Afghanistan, and sometimes soldiers, and usually for bad reasons, basically always for bad reasons. That's Afghanistan.
Yep. So, yeah, of course, the World Anti-Communist League is sending funding to them. And Lee Shapiro's death is literally the only thing that stops CIA USA from just making another propaganda film and having it aired on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lest you think we're done with the death squads, CIA USA also
this is
did,
Behind the Bastards. The only promise we make is that we're never done with the death squads.
There's so many. CIA USA also did a propaganda media tour for Rios Montt's dictatorship in Guatemala.
Oh, boy, Carlos Rios Montt. Yeah.
Rios Montt is most notable for like successfully doing a bunch of genocides against the indigenous population of Guatemala.
He definitely did. Yeah.
There are entire peoples who are just gone. They killed every single one of them. There are languages that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, there are towns that still won't let the military back in to this day because of the genocide.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like it's horrifying. Like, one of my friends was an anthropologist who worked with a community who they managed to. Everyone else around them had been killed in the genocide. They managed to survive, and they're the last people on Earth who speak their language. And they survived by just running on foot through the jungle, and they made it. But you know, they live in this horrible slum, and they can't speak Spanish, and they're the last people left of, you know, their entire people who have been around for thousands of years, because Montt fucking killed all of them. And it's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty bad.
And Moon's doing propaganda tours for their death squads and also funding them. It's
I mean, are you really a right wing shithead, though, if you're not backing Rios Montt? Like, are you actually, do you deserve to even call yourself a violent right-wing extremist if you're not backing that guy?
I will say, like, okay, there are a lot of right-wingers who like back Rios Montt, like rhetorically, but like, you know, Moon puts his money where his mouth is. Like, you can never not say that, like, when there was a fight against communism and when there were babies to be killed, like, no one on earth can say that Reverend Moon did not do his part in murdering those babies.
He made sure there's not as many babies. And you know what? Every time you don't spend an extra 5-10 minutes in traffic, thank you, Reverend Moon. Thank you for making there be less people who are alive to drive cars and stop me from getting to the Sparrow.
You know what else is makes there be less people alive to drive cars?
The products and services that support this podcast?
Washington
like
State Patrol.
Oh, well, yeah, the highways. Yeah, the Washington State Patrol and Coke Industries and... For sure. I mean, with their island where people hunt children, they really go out of their way to decrease the surplus population. Okay, here's ads.
Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards. And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro? Amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice
remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
We're back. Chris, please go ahead.
So Moon also has like another front group that he uses that does basically the same thing as CAUSA, but like it just does media tours. And they run these like quote unquote fact finding trips that included interviews with the leaders of Renamo in Mozambique, UDITA in Angola, SWAPO in Namibia, and Solidarity in Poland. Now, those of you who know your Cold War will realize that UDITA means Jonas Savimbi, not seen since the Manafort episode of The Dawn of Time is back on the pod. And yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. Man. From fucking Guatemala to Angola, it's all incredible. Around. He's really hitting all of the hits of like right wing fuckery in this period of time. He's doing a whole fucking bingo.
It's incredible.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
I will say this. So I don't have any evidence that he directly funded either Solidarity in Poland or SWAPO in Namibia, but through a web that is like elaborate even by Moon standards, and I'm not gonna explain the full thing because I turned into the pinboards meme, like conspiracy meme, trying to like track all of the funding sources down. But he does seem to have funded both Renamo and Savimbi just like directly. So cool. That's fun. And to finish off the Death Squad gauntlet, we need to talk about Cambodia.
Oh boy. So, wow. Man, that is honestly not one of the death squads I necessarily expected to see him getting involved with.
So throughout the late 1970s, Pol Pot's troops were busy making like a series of the worst military decisions in human history. They decided that they were going to launch a bunch of cross-border raids against Vietnam and just like massacre a bunch of Vietnamese civilians. Now, the Vietnamese army, By the time you hit 1977, 1978, they have beaten back-to-back the French, the Japanese, the French again, the U.S., and in 1 year, their B-team is about to go blow-for-blow with China in a conventional war. Pol Pot's army does not have a centralized command and control structure. So Pol Pot's army looks at this and goes, no, we're going to be the ones who succeeded where every single other empire on Earth has failed. And they start this war with Vietnam, and Vietnam invades 1979, and they just blow the Cambodian army to pieces. But they do a thing I think everyone who lives in the U.S. Knows well, which is they get stuck in a nation-building quagmire, which, you know...
It happens to everybody. It's like throwing your back out, you know? Everybody, at some point, you know, if you're funding death squad, you're going to wind up locked in a quagmire of a war. You know
I will say this for Vietnam. Like, okay, if there's one government ever that it was like, this is a good idea to go in and knock them off, it's Pol Pot. Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, you know, but this becomes a problem with them because, you know, they're trying to set up a state and
it doesn't look that.
Yeah.
Vietnam proves that there is something about being a state that makes you want to get involved in another state shit and start a quagmire. Not that, like, again, like you said, somebody needed to do something.
Yeah.
It is just funny to see Vietnam go do a Vietnam on Cambodia. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no lesson there because the lesson certainly isn't let guys like Pol Pot continue doing Pol Pot things.
Well,
please don't take this as me saying, haha, what fools the Vietnamese were.
Yeah, I will say the lesson from this is that if you're going to go invade a country and knock off Pol Pot, you actually have to kill Pol Pot. Pol Pot, like, yeah, is that, able that to escape.
I would say killing Pol Pot is something in general people should have done.
Yeah, this is a problem because, you know, the other thing that happens is that a bunch of Khmer nationalist groups pop up. And one of these is called the Khmer People's National Liberation Front. Now, Moon does propaganda for and direct support to the Khmer People's National Liberation Front. Now, there's one problem, and he's doing this because, you know, this is an anti-Vietnam group, right? But there's one problem with the Khmer People's National Liberation Group as as an anti-communist group, which is, you know, other than the massacres, which they don't care about. The problem is that the Khmer People's National Liberation Front is part of the Coalition Government of Democratic Kampuchea. Now, Moon is pushing for the Coalition Government of Democratic Kampuchea. He's like they're trying to maintain their seat, the Cambodia seat of the UN. The problem with them is that the most powerful member of this coalition is Pol Pot. So Moon is directly funding. Well, it's sort of directly running propaganda for him, indirectly funding Pol Pot.
What a great anti-communist!
Yep, it's
great. You love to see it.
it's real bad.
Yeah.
He's funded Pol Pot. Now,
well, I mean, look, whomst among us has not given Pol Pot some money at some point?
I have never given money to Pol Pot.
Look, Chris, you can't say that because It Could Happen Here is sponsored entirely by King Norodom Sihanouk, who funded Pol Pot. So in a way, the former king of I lost a handle on this. This is when you jump in, Sophie.
I said no.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, please continue.
So, you know, there's kind of like a secular limit that you hit, right? Like there's a certain point at which just the amount of time you have, the amount of money you have is such that you can't fund literally every death squad.
That is something I've often mourned in my own life, but you know, you fund the death squad you can.
Yeah, but there's a way around this. And the way around this is you fund the American government.
Well, yeah.
Now, okay. So
as a taxpayer, I do back a lot of death squads.
Yeah. So, but then, you know, there's a political angle that lets you like increase the bang for your death squad buck. So there's a guy named Richard Viguerri. I'm butchering his name because he's Italian and I also don't respect him. He is the man who basically created the modern right out of the wreckage of the Barry Goldwater campaign. He's famous for taking a list of 12,000 people who donated more than $50 to the campaign in 1964 and using it to create a mailing list. Now, this is a revolution in American politics. It allows
Whole fucking 80s. 70s and 80s. Yep. Yeah,
and he's doing this in the 60s, and this allows him to fundraise and mobilize activists at an unimaginable scale. Like this is Facebook before Facebook, and they're sending these old people letters that say things like babies are being harvested and sold on the black market by Planned Parenthood clinics. And
it's Twitter.
Yeah, it's literally
Invented Facebook.
they did it in 1965, and old people react exactly the same way old people react now to Facebook. And so Viguerri is at just the absolute cutting edge of this. He's at the cutting edge of the mailing list. He's using computers to like keep track of the mailing lists. And you know, he is building the infrastructure that will make the Reagan Revolution possible. Moon is funding him as early as 1965 through a scam that involves setting up radio towers to broadcast propaganda to North Korea. He also gives Viguerri $900,000 through a fake charity in 1977 and then bails him out again in the 80s by buying Viguerri's office building for $10 million and then putting him in charge of the accounts of the American Freedom Coalition, which is a Mooney group that's invented to like defend Oliver North. Now, while this is happening, Mooney point man Gary Jarman was running an organization called the Christian Voice, which was one of the first political organizations to put Viguerri's new fundraising system to the test. In 1980 and 1982, they outraised every single other conservative fundraising group. To put this into perspective, Jerry Falwell's like New Moral Majority PAC raises $22,000 in his first year. That same year, the Christian Voice raised $494,722. And these guys, the Christian Voice is terrifyingly powerful. In the 1980 election, they target 32 races and they beat 22 incumbents. This is
wow.
Yeah, it's bad. This is this is the infrastructure that built the Reagan Revolution, and it is funded by Reverend Moon. Yeah, it's bad. And you know, not content to simply fight at the ballot box, Moon runs anti-communist campaigns on college campuses, including a anti-communist newsletter, which is actually pretty funny. He has this like newspaper thing that, you know, how every like Trotskyite group and every like weird communist group like passes out newspapers on campus. Moon is like, what if we did our own, but they were anti-communist? So he has all of his like followers on campus like passing out these newspapers. And so you get all these like all of the cults are like lined up next to each other passing out newspapers. It's a fun time, but
you've talked about it, but it's just the outstanding amount, like it's just like unfathomable amount of money this
he's in everything
he funds so much. The outreach and funding
he's the first he's the only real cult leader that I'm aware of that is on that L. Ron Hubbard level, yeah, where they hit this certain point early in their career where it's like, where did their money come? Will they have infinite money?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, they have as much money as they need.
Moon yep. funded, yeah. And then moon funded. Yeah. I'm like, how does he have all of the money
they could ever spend? Like, which is a scary thing for a cult leader to get to. God, it makes me miss LRH. He didn't fund any death squads. He just threw kids off of boats like a hero.
Yeah,
like a hero.
Moon is like, what if you used L. Ron Hubbard for just like pure evil?
It's tragic to think of L. Ron Hubbard's legacy being used for evil.
Yeah. And, you know, and I will say, like, so like part of how he's funding this is like, part of it is just, you know, the cult is literally a pyramid scheme, right? And that he has all of these businesses. He also has Sasakawa's like literally infinite Yakuza money from Japan. He's getting KCIA money. He's getting money from all just like, there's like a couple of times where he takes over banks in Uruguay and then just like takes all of the money from them and then the bank goes under. Like he does this like multiple times. He has all these land deals. Oh, there's another thing that I didn't fit in the episode, but I think I should talk about a little bit, which is that like there's some evidence that like in the 90s he got into the drug trade because he starts buying all of this land that's like on the border.
What kind of
Brazil.
Drug?
Well, it, like,
oh, cocaine.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, he's in the cocaine trade. He's like buying the border crossings that cocaine moves through in like Bolivia and in, yeah, it's there's no hard evidence of that, but like no one I else mean, but there's no other I, reason why you're buying all that land.
If,
like,
you are, if you are backing multiple death squads in Latin America,
yeah,
to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, I'm sorry, but I can't believe you're not moving blow.
Yeah,
like I refuse to accept that that's possible.
It's one of those things. There's so many threads of Moon where like, you know, some of the threads, like I pulled on the Death Squad thread and I found that he was funding Pol Pot, and some of them, like there seems to be a lot of investigative journalism like still to be done on this organization because like the cocaine thread is,
I
like,
mean, it's
there's
so
a lot of people who,
all encompassing.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible to imagine that like people know the bottom of this at the moment, you know?
Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. So,
but you know, what's not bad, Chris?
Products and services.
That support this podcast.
Wow.
Products and services are always, you know, Chris, a lot of people say some of our products and services back death squads themselves. I don't agree with that. I think one of the beautiful promises that the Raytheon Corporation has for the world is a future without death squads, because robots can kill those people from the sky, Chris.
That's
from
true.
From the sky.
You no longer
need
people.
You don't have to send a bunch of soldiers who are fucked up on cocaine and methamphetamine to gun down a bunch of children in a village. You just bomb it from the air.
Although, Robert,
with a drone.
There's a real risk here, which is we're cutting the legs out of the child soldier industry.
I know, but you know, look, disruption has to come for every industry eventually. One day you and I will be replaced with a robot that perfectly mimics Joe Rogan's voice. And like that, you know, child soldiers are going to be replaced by drones. But we can still honor the legacy of the child soldier industry by having little kids pilot those drones because they're better at video games.
That's true. It's Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. We've proven it mathematically.
Yeah. Ender's Game, but entirely targeting poor people in the global south. That's the promise of Raytheon. All right. Here's some other ads.
Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards. And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Ooh, boy, Chris, we get a lot of money for those Raytheon mid-rolls. I mean, that's our salary for a while, my man. You want to continue on with this enlightening story of good times?
Yeah. So the other thing that Moon's doing on college campuses is he's running a network of spies to spy on leftist activists and giving the information to conservative groups. This should be like for like any other organization. The fact that you're running a network of college campus spies to spy on leftists.
Gone through in a list like 20 things, each of which, if a guy had done one, yeah, would like, make them a worthy subject of this series. Yeah,
like this spy network has one sentence in my script.
Yeah,
one. It's the second half.
It's just
of a
spy network. Yeah,
it's like, oh, just a spy network.
You got to breeze over L. Ron Hubbard summoning the Antichrist with sex magic when you get his biography because there's just too much going
too much.
On, man.
One of the reasons why I'm brushing over this is that in 1982, Moon founds probably the single most important American institution he ever founds, the Washington Times. Here's Bohi Pak, the Times corporate president, describing why the Times was created. Quote, "It is a total war, basically a war of ideas, war of mind. The battlefield is the human mind. This is the battle. This is where the battle is fought. Son, in this war, the entire thing will be mobilized. Political means, social means, economic means, and propagandistic means. And basically trying to take over the other person's mind. That is what the Third World War is all about. The war of ideology."
Oh, so he's doing a fourth generation war thing.
He's
very much kind of thinking, honestly, on the same side as William S. Lind. Okay, that scans. Yeah.
Yep. Now this is Reagan's favorite newspaper. He has his paper delivered to his office every single morning, and he reads
Christ
it.
Christ in heaven.
And an absolutely enormous number of right wing journalists have passed through over the years.
It's very familiar. I'm sure everyone listening to this has run into a Washington Times article.
They
at
are
some
run
point.
By
and
a cult.
Like, oh. Is like the half of their business is people like on social media mistaking them for the Post. And
You know, there's a thing. I saw this like fairly. It was a week or two ago. The Washington Times like published an article calling, basically screaming about like calling the CCP like a I think it was a termite infestation. And it was like there's these termites in our society that have to be eliminated. And I'm like, well, so this is like
that's great.
Genocide,
that's
right?
Good but, genocide. Like,
but you know,
I just looked at the Washington Post and the Washington Times website next to each other, almost identical fonts for the names, like deliberately identical fonts for the names. Cool.
Yeah. And I think people look at the Washington Times doing stuff like that. They're like, oh my God, look at the genocide stuff. It's like, yeah, these guys are so much worse. Like this is the newspaper of a cult.
Yeah. Much like the Epoch Times.
Yep. Except, I mean, this, you know, a lot of what's happening here, the Moonies are just a better, like a more successful version of the Falun Gong in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they do
one,
all
one of the
first.
Big differences would be that the Falun Gong, as terrible as a lot of things about them are, legitimately has suffered repression and stuff. As opposed to these guys are fully, the state is on board with them.
So the U.S. state, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, so I want to especially mention some of these people. David Brooks gets to start in journalism as writing movie reviews for them.
Awesome.
Like Pat Buchanan is an ex-Washington Times columnist.
And, that makes sense.
And,
yeah.
And they basically like invent the modern style of right-wing journalism. Like the Times are some of the first people to do the war on Christmas. Like they basically invent that. And, you know, I want to, you know, they have a very disturbing analysis of this. I want to read one of their, this is a poster that was made by one of their affiliate groups, because they have about a trillion. News is available through more media than ever before and for 24 hours a day, yet much of it sounds the same. Are media giving people the facts they need in the 21st century? Is the media's traditional role of reporting facts even still relevant? Is it time for the media to become guide dogs instead of watchdogs? So,
okay.
And what they're guiding people to is white nationalism. The yeah. Times is extremely racist, incredibly pro-Confederate, and they publish a bunch of literal Nazis. Francis Booth Coombs.
I mean, you just listed Pat Buchanan, so yes.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like people who are more explicitly Nazi than Pat Buchanan, which is fairly impressive. Yeah,
because he's written a whole book defending Hitler.
Yeah, so Francis Booth Coombs, who works at the Times, he was like their, one of their head publishers, and he frequently published his wife, who's the other main thing his wife writes for is Stormfront.
Oh, good, awesome,
yeah, it's amazing. So here's from the Southern Poverty Law Center. In one opinion piece in the Times, Coombs describes the whole of human history as, quote, the struggle of races. Non-white immigration, she wrote in another column, is importing poverty and revolution that will end in the eventual loss of American sovereignty. In England, Muslims are turning life in this once pleasant land into misery for its native inhabitants. This is just one example that I've pulled out. There are dozens of people at the Times who write stuff exactly like this. It's horrifying. I've talked a bit before about the Defend Rhodesia. They're huge defenders of apartheid in South Africa. They are, yeah, it's one of the worst institutions in the US, and they in a lot of ways they kind of serve a role sort of similar to how, what InfoWars does, right? Where like you have this one sort of they'll do the Alex Jones thing, right? They'll pick a headline from another news source, completely misinterpret it, turn it into an outrage machine, and then they'll feed it to the rest of the right wing press, and it goes through like Fox News.
Yeah, but they're kind of more like Breitbart in that they camouflage themselves as more legitimate.
And then also, like, you know, especially with Reagan, like they just directly have access to the president because this is their favorite magazine. Like, yeah, I mean, this is Reagan's favorite newspaper. And, you know, one of the other things they do is, so the Korean government, there's a pro-democracy uprising in the city of Gwangju, and they make this commune. It's one of the sort of incredible revolutionary moments sort of in world history. And the Korean government just murders them. Just absolutely butchers them. And the Times does propaganda. Like, you know, the Times runs cover for the Korean government. And this is so bad that even like the other right wingers at the Times just resign en masse because they're like, I won't be a part of the South Korean government literally murdering a bunch of pro-democracy protesters.
Oh,
now,
boy.
That order to defend the South Korean government comes directly from the top. It comes directly from Moon. It comes directly from Bo Hee-pak. And they're trying to protect the new South Korean government after the KCIA shot former dictator Park Chung-hee in his bunker, which is a story that I will tell like another time on this podcast.
The dictators of South Korea deserve as much time as the dictators of North Korea.
Yeah, I'm working on episodes. But yeah, we'll tell that later. But, you know, Moon is just directly running interference with the fact that like his bosses just murdered the president. Now, this right-wing media blitz isn't just an American affair. Moon is putting out newspapers across the world, including the Sergei Times in Korea, the Middle East Times in Cairo, and Sekai Nippo in Japan. Now, Sekai Nippo is fun because they directly advocate for Japan invading Manchuria again, which,
because it went so well last time. Yeah,
it's great. And, you know, this is where I was talking about, you know, that whole thing about how they about how the Moonies run that scam where they make people like pay indulgences for all the war crimes that Japan did in Korea. Oh boy, they're advocating for them to do it again. It's great.
Well, I mean, God forgave them. So kind of like Rasputin believed, you got to get back in there and start sinning again.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to have anything to forgive.
I should specifically mention this. God does not forgive Tojo. Moon forgives Tojo.
Well, like, yeah, because you need someone a little more powerful than God for Tojo.
Yeah, yeah.
And Moon is just much, much better than God.
Yeah,
I think would agree.
Yeah. Now, Moon's increasing hold over the media was tested in Japan when Yoshikazu Shojima, a former churchman, attempted to fight like a full-scale church takeover of Sekai Nippo in Japan. Now, Moon sends in the Yakuza from the book Inside the League. On the 1st of October, about 100 people, including about 30 in special karate training groups, barged into the paper's offices. They broke desks, stole papers, and beat up some of the employees.
Okay,
on June 2nd of 1984, Sojima was attacked outside his home in Tokyo and stabbed repeatedly, according to police reports. When the attack occurred, he was preparing an article critical of Moon.
Man, can't one team of like karate soldiers be sent into a place and it not end in a depressing thing?
I am going to do an episode at some point about karate because it's so fucked up. But one of the things that's important to note is that the World Karate Federation was founded by Sasakawa, the Japanese fascist, and one of Moon's lieutenants. So yeah, all the karate people, like, huge supply of bodyguards for the South Korean dictators.
Cool. I guess I'm gonna have to go to Krav Maga for an unproblematic martial art. Yep. Time to Google Krav Maga for the first time.
It's bad now. So while all of this is happening, like, this is, you know, this in some ways is Moon's moment of triumph, but there's two disasters that strike. One is the death of his 17-year-old son, Huang Jin. Now, this is a major problem for Moon theologically, because he has written that people can only reach the kingdom of heaven if they're married. So naturally,
what kills his son's dead?
He's driving an SUV on an icy road and he crashes.
He gets assaulted. Yeah.
He's a 17-year-old and is not good at driving on ice. And
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no evidence he got murdered. So naturally, Moon solves the problem of his son can't go to heaven because he wasn't married by marrying the dead Huang Jin off to Bo Hee Pak's daughter, Hoon Sun Pak.
So, I mean, potentially a great deal, because you don't have to deal with a lot of the traditional downsides of marriage.
Yeah. Hoon Sun Pak later said that the experience was, quote, like being emotionally raped.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, not good.
I'm gonna wait an extra second before I respond to you in the future, Chris.
Yeah, it's not good. And this is like, while this is going on, like, while Moon's having his death squad adventures, like, there's just still a bunch of horrible stuff happening interpersonally in the church. I don't have a good segue from this into what I'm about to read. So Moon also said about Huang Jin's death, if the sacrifice of Huang Jin Nim had not been made, one of either two great calamities could have happened. Either the Korean nation could have suffered a catastrophic setback, such as invasion from the north, or I myself could have been assassinated. Which,
oh no,
I think is incredible. Look at his mind, where he's like, "My son has died. How do I spin this? If he hadn't died, one of two equally bad things could have happened. I could die, or North Korea could invade." And I'm just like,
and he's consistently doing the thing that you're not supposed to do as a person, like say that God thinks that you're better than God, or say that, well, at least it was my son that died and not me. Like, these are like real big, but it's just cool. It's fine. That's
good. Great. It's a good time. So Moon's other problem is with the law. Moon gets indicted on a number of, in the US, gets indicted on a number of counts related to the fact that literally everything he does is indescribably illegal, and the government is trying to get him on tax charges. Moon loses this case and gets convicted of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and perjury. And it's important to remember what he's convicted of, because even before Moon is convicted, he launches this massive advertising campaign, complaining that he's being religiously and racially persecuted by a government that hates religion. And there's like this cult obsession, and it's just that they just don't understand his new religion. And this works. Dinesh D'Souza gives a speech
Look, you've brought up a lot of frustrating names, but that's the first one that made me angry. Yeah. God damn it.
Lawrence Tribe shows up to argue that this whole prosecution is an attack on the First Amendment, and that the government is going after him for holding church money and his own money in the same account, which is like a standard practice for small churches. The ACLU is involved in this. I've seen conflicting accounts as to whether it was just the New York chapter or the entire ACLU. But some of the ACLU, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and the National Association of Evangelicals all argue that if Moon is convicted, the government will like come after churches everywhere. So we have to defend Moon now. And of course, none of this ever happens.
You don't.
Yeah, no, none of this ever happens. There's no persecution ever, because it's all a lie. Moon is put in prison, if you remember, for obstruction of justice, perjury, and conspiracy, not tax evasion, right? Like, that's not what he goes down for. Like, he goes down because he's running an enormous money laundering operation that is smuggling money in the socks of ballet dancers to move Yakuza money to Latin American death squads. Like that's what he's actually doing with this.
And that's a crime now, huh? We don't let that happen in America.
You know, but this is the thing, like, to this day, you can find conservatives on forum posts talking about how like the rational skeptic people will be like, Moon was like unjustly prosecuted. It's like, no, he got off like so easy for the number of crimes.
If a dude chainsawed hit him in half, it wouldn't have been an unjust prosecution.
Yeah, this guy ran Korean CIA influence operations on sitting American senators.
Yeah, and this is like a Dulles level piece of shit. Like, just let it happen.
Yeah. Now, nevertheless, Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye, founders of the Moral Majority, joined a pro-Moon campaign.
That makes sense.
And they argue that he's being persecuted by secular humanists, which is their version of cultural Marxism. It's great.
Yeah, the original term was pagan statism, actually. And it's gone through a few permutations before we hit cultural Marxist, which seems to scan best now.
Yeah. LaHaye takes $500,000 from Moon and creates the Coalition for Religious Freedom, which is like focused on defending Moon. Jerry Falwell, who had denounced Moon as a devil preying on American children in 1978, speaks at a banquet run by CIA USA in 1985 and sits on the Coalition for Religious Freedom's board. And, you know, prison turns out to have been like an incredible boon for Moon. It lets him like completely Moon in the 70s is like one of the most hated figures in America because everyone's like, oh, he's the cult guy. And by the mid 80s, he's completely rehabilitated his image, and he's now like fully integrated into the Christian right. And it's incredibly
and all it took
grim.
Was crimes.
Crimes and an enormous amount of money, and you can do whatever, you can fund every death squad on Earth. Now, back in the church, things had taken an extremely bizarre turn. In the summer of 1987, church leaders heard that Moon's dead son, Huang Jin, had returned to Earth in the body of a church member from Zimbabwe. Cleopas Kudiona was accepted by Moon as a reincarnation of Huang Jin, whose spirit possessed his body. Moon like appoints him as like a church inquisitor, and so he would go around like beating church members until they like confessed to something they did wrong. And it's apparently really brutal. He like beats priests and their wives unconscious. There's a story about him like he takes out a gun and just like starts shooting bullets into a pool and then orders everyone to go like pick up the bullets from inside the pool. And he even beats Bohee Pak like so badly that Pak has to go to a hospital to have like fluid drained from his brain. And this is the point at which Moon is like, I've had enough of this.
Maybe you're not my son.
Yeah, and he has
My son beats one less guy than that.
Yeah, and so he declares that the Huang Jin's spirit has left the body of Cleopas.
Huang Jin comes back to life to just beat the shit out of some people and then goes right off to the spirit realm again.
Yep.
Incredible dude.
It's wild. And one of the funny things about it is like this is so, like there are so many church leaders who are just like randomly showing up with like bruises on them that like one of their like American like pretty like, prominent American followers is like convinced there's a communist plot going on to like disrupt the leadership of the church. And it's just, and the other thing is that they call him Black Huang Jin. Like it's just
okay. Like,
it's bad.
I mean, okay.
Yeah,
fine.
I should also briefly
that doesn't really scan as bad within the context of the episode.
Well, I should briefly talk about there's Moon is like a big like racial unity guy. So like you know he was promoting integration in the 70s and like 60s. 70s.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a number of really problematic guys who during the conversations on integration were on the right side. We could talk about the fucking the Kool-Aid, what do you call it? Jim Jones.
Yeah. But I will say, so Moon is lying about this. Moon does not actually believe in racial equality. Inside the church, there's
racism
like
from the death squad guy.
Yeah. There's this like internal hierarchy basically of like people in the church, and it's like Koreans are on top. And then I think it's like Japanese people and then white people. And then like black people are on the bottom. And there's some racism stuff going on there. I didn't write an enormous amount about it because there's so many death squads. And we still haven't even gotten to the next thing we're about to get to, which is Kim Il-sung. So, yeah, Moon ironically lives to see the death of communism like, and the triumph of the market economy literally everywhere except for North Korea.
Well, yeah.
Which is,
they're still keeping on. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Moon is convinced that, like, collapse is coming any day now as, like, the Berlin Wall falls and the USSR is imploding. So Moon begins secret talks with North Korea in 1991. And later that year, he's finally able to meet Kim Il-sung and return to North Korea for the first time since the Korean War. Now, Kim Il-sung has Moon's childhood home, like, refurbished, and Moon goes to, like, visit his home, and then they have this, like, meeting where they hug it out, and Kim Il-sung says, "Let us forget the past. Most important now is the future." The Defense Intelligence Agency claims that Moon paid millions of dollars to a secret overseas bank account to get the meeting and secure future investment rights. I don't know if that's true. The only source is the Defense Intelligence Agency, so they might just be lying. It might also be true. But whatever happened, it works. Kim Il-sung and Moon were now in business together. Moon invests somewhere between $50 and $60 million into a joint North Korean-South Korean car company called Pyeongchang Motors, and was even allowed the extremely rare privilege of, like, putting up corporate billboards in North Korea for this company. And here's a fun quote from Church
Korea
officer.
The North Korea stands are going to love this one. Yeah,
just wait.
Fucking billboards in the socialist paradise.
Yeah. So here's a fun quote from Church officer Park Sung-kwon, who's the head of the joint venture. "We are bound to succeed. There are no unions, low labor costs. The workers are very clever, very quick to learn, and they are harshly controlled by their superiors."
The workers' paradise.
Drew J. Thought is the one true revolutionary ideology.
I've always said that. Sophie will tell you. I say that to her every day. Sometimes I call her in the middle of the night, screaming it at the top of my lungs.
Full volume.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
He's also, like, investing in Vietnam and China for, like, similar reasons, neither of whom seem to have any objections to taking money from a man who had their former comrades literally burned alive.
I mean, look, once you get to the point where people have a lot of money, nobody actually believes anything.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So, yeah, the other thing Moon is able to do is the Washington Times gets the first interview with any North Korean leader in the Western press in 20 years. And the Times basically publishes, like, a puff piece praising Kim Il-sung. Yeah. So, you know, you might be asking yourself, how does this dude, who has literally spent his entire career being an intractable fool of communism, how is he justifying allying with Kim Il-sung? And the answer is that he justifies it by calling it a triumph of his sheer power to fuse together himself and his enemy, Cain and Abel, God and Satan, yin and yang. And even his own followers are like, no, like, leave the church.
Yeah, because he's basically saying, well, guys, the only problem with communism was that they didn't like me.
Yeah.
But now they like me.
And it's funny because he is, like, one of the largest, like, funders of the North Korean economy, like, to this day. He's, like, one of the big people putting money into it. It's incredible. And, you know, this is, you know, but you know, his followers leaving the church is kind of a theme for Moon in the 90s. The 90s are kind of a rough time for him. George H.W. Bush, who was a big enough Moon supporter to tour Japan and Argentina with him, you know, loses the 1992 election. And Moon claims this is a result of Bush refusing to sign papers calling Korea the country of eternal peace, supreme over all other nations. He's like, yeah, you didn't make me king, so that's why you lost. But he starts pivoting to try to be, like, a civil rights leader, and he forms this thing called the Women's Federation for World Peace, which argues that women's liberation is submitting to traditional gender roles. And then he also starts paying a bunch of old civil rights leaders to back him and, like, courting these, like, socially conservative black churches. You know, while he's doing this, he also bails out Liberty University for $3.5 million when he thinks no one's looking. It's great. He's bailed out Liberty University. But in 1999, Nonsuk Hong publishes a book called In the Shadow of the Moons, My Life in the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's Family. Nonsuk Hong is the wife of Moon's first son, like, first son with his wife, Steve, Steve last seen threatening to rape and kill another woman for having a child with Moon. Yeah, he's great. Steve Moon is a problem child. He can't be disciplined, he drinks constantly, and he just, like, wants to be a rock star in South Korea, which normally I'm on board with. Like, I don't know, son of a cult leader, I just want to be a rock star. Moon is mad about this because he's like, okay, well, my son needs to lead the church. So his plan is to get his successor back in line is to marry him off to the 15-year-old Nansuk Hong, apparently on the logic that having a wife who's young enough to be easily controlled would turn him into a proper patriarch or something. And so, yeah, it's bad. Hong is basically just like just Steve treats her as a servant. She has to like make him food every morning, and you know, she talks about this time like basically like smiling and being cheery every day before crying herself to sleep every night. Hong gets pregnant, I think, for the first time at 17, and she eventually has 5 kids. While pregnant with the 5th kid, she can rent Steve, who's been doing literally millions of dollars of cocaine. Like he is like defrauding entire church.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's pretty rad. Look, no notes on that guy.
Yeah. So the problem with this is that, you know, he's like not helping raise his sons and daughters. And so, Hong like confronts him about this, and she tries to flush some of the cocaine down the toilet. And here's how the New Republic describes what happened next. Steve, quote, smashed his fist into my face, blooding my nose, Hong later recalled. He wiped my blood on his hand, then licked it off. Tastes good, he said. This is fun. It's not good.
What the fuck? That's so ew.
Yeah, like, he's just licking the blood off his hand and saying, this tastes good, this is fun. Like, what?
I mean, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Steve then threatens to kill her baby and like keeps on beating here. Here's from an interview she gave with CBS's 60 Minutes. He beat me so severely, I thought he would kill the baby in my womb. He made me clean up the spilled white powder from the floor even as he continued to beat me. Later, he would offer religious justification for beating me half senseless, a woman 7 months pregnant. He was teaching me to be humble in the presence of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's unfortunately a really common line like you talk to people who are in kind of like homeschooling cults and, you know, raised in sort of like to train up a child kind of bullshit. Like, there's a lot of justifications for child abuse and spousal abuse in different Christian sects that are like, well, this is I'm humbling you, but you have to be humble before God. And like, it's good.
It's horrible. And, you know, this is but the release of this book and the interviews, like Hong is actually like she's able to get away from Moon. She's able to live her own life. I mean, like people like church members like keep continuously calling her and like stuff like that happens. But she's able to get out and she publishes this book. And this book does like enormous damage to Moon because, you know, here's this guy who's supposed to have been he's literally the Messiah, and him and his children are like his children are supposed to be the first generation of new perfect children. And this is what they're doing. And this is really bad for the church. So Moon begins to change his strategy once again. His new plan is he's going to get the U.S. to crown him king.
Okay. How did that go?
In 2004, 81 congressmen, 26 ambassadors to the U.S., and like 500 other dignitaries gathered in the Dirksen Senate office building. According to one description of the events, Republican Roscoe Bartlett bowed before the couple, and Democrat Danny Davis carried out one of the 2 golden crowns that were placed on their heads.
Wait, what?
Moon then informed the audience that kings and presidents had declared him humanity's savior, and that Jesus, Buddha, Hitler, and Stalin had been reborn as new persons through his teachings.
Wow.
What? Moon, it turns out.
That make it into anybody's like campaign ads trying to unseat these guys? Like that seems like, there was like I feel like there even was, today if somebody in Congress did that, a lot of folks would cared. Okay.
There was cool, awesome, there was like dope. 1 week where everyone was like, oh hey, yeah, isn't it weird that all these senators went to a ceremony where they literally crowned this guy king, and everyone was like, he gives us money, and just nobody cared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was a metaphor. Why are you asking? He gives us money. Like
So apparently he bribed a bunch of these people to be there by giving them gold watches, and the congressmen show up and are like,
fair enough,
wait, hold on, I thought we were just giving him an award, why are we crowning him king? And and like the American press is just like, this is a curiosity, okay, whatever, yeah, some senators crowned Reverend Moon king.
Look, I feel like the one thing we all ought, and clearly we can't, but the one thing Americans should generally agree on is don't crown people king.
You would
that's
think
like the whole thing that we were think, against
but no, like this is why, like, you know, this is totally a tangent, but like this is why I get so mad about the fact that like the fact that we support Saudi Arabia, it's like there's one principle.
The fucking don't have principles. Kings.
Yeah.
Can we not they stick to one it. Thing?
They keep doing
they're it. Bad.
They keep making kings. And so, yeah, like, and this is an enormous propaganda coup from Moon. You know, here are like literally the leaders of the United States bowing to him and crowning him king. And so Moon like retreats to a palace modeled after the Capitol building that he has constructed in Korea after taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from Bush's faith of government money, by the way, from Bush's faith-based initiatives.
Awesome.
It's great. Now, you know, by the time you get to the mid late 2000s, Moon's health is failing. I think he has cancer. And his daughter, Injin Moon, starts to take over the church around 2010. She takes over through a bunch of incredibly complicated political maneuvering I'm not going to get into here, but she's able to take control of most of the church, but not all of it. And this is important because she's able to take control of like the organization that's the church, right? But she's not able to take control of the holding group that they funnel all their money through.
So the bajillions of dollars she doesn't have access
to. Yeah. So the show company goes to her brother Preston, who
He suck more?
Yeah. I mean, he's not the worst of the family branch, but he basically takes the money and he sets up like a new church with the same theology, except without the Moon family members as messiahs. Injin calls him, quote, a fallen Adam being controlled by Satan.
Cool.
And Preston says like basically the same, like similar things about her. And this is the first of like a myriad of fractures that would consume the church as Reverend Moon's health declined and he lost control.
Well, the good news is that if you're that guy, if you're the guy, even God is like, this dude knows what's up. You're probably not going to have anyone who's capable of being that bold, and they have to be after you know?
Yeah.
Although
your replacement's just almost certainly not going to have that kind of chutzpah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not up to his level, but they don't do that well. Okay, Injin does terribly. Her thing is, you know, so the problem is by 2010, you're in the Obama years, right? Like
The golden age where there were no problems.
Not a single one.
What I will say, though, is that this is actually like this is the first time that the church hasn't been able to ride a cultural shift because, you know, like the moral majority stuff. It. Like as a politics kind of like by the time you get Obama, like it's kind of dying. Like, I mean, it's still around, but like, it doesn't, that's not like that kind of right wing, like the pure, like the Christian version of it. Like it doesn't fully reemerge again until Trump. And when it does, when it comes back under Trump, it's, you know, like it's like a more fascist like version of it. And while they're trying to ride this transition, they screw up. Injin like attempts to like modernize the church. So she gets rid of all like the old hymns and chanting and replaces them with like Guitar Hero and ping pong tournaments. And she launches a rock band called Sonic Cult. And and she even is like, oh, we should encourage kids to like have a role in choosing their partners. This is an apocalyptic disaster for the church. Internal church documents show that church membership in the US dropped from 26,000 to 7,000 in 2 months. She's like,
wow.
Blows it up.
Wow, that is like, yeah, that it's is incredible. That is a pretty quick fall.
Now, when Moon finally dies in 2012, Moon's wife just like almost immediately ousts her so Injin had a child out of wedlock. And that's like literally the worst sin you can possibly do in the church. And so she like reveals this and Injin just like disappears. But you know, even after this coup, the church continues to fragment. And the most famous of these breakaway shards is Hwangjin Sean Moon's breakaway faction, which is now known as the AR-15 Church for conducting rituals and marriages with AR-15s.
I knew we were going here. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. This is an interesting faction because, you know, he doesn't have, like, Sean doesn't have either the money of, like, Preston's breakaway church, nor does he have the connections that, like, the main church has. Because, you know, I mean, the main church are the people who hold on to leadership in like South Korea, and they hold on to it in Africa. They hold on to South America. They hold on to Japanese branch in particular. But what Sean's faction does have is car arms. So he chooses like, you know, with car arms and, you know, with this sort of like thing going on, he chooses like publicity stunts to rebuild his membership. So, you know, he dons a crown of bullets and rallies around like Revelation 2:27, which says he shall rule them with a rod of iron. It's very like, you know, this is a lot of,
and knowing that the news, like obviously it's going to look so nutty that the news will go crazy over it. And then, you know, bada bing, bada boom, attention economy, baby.
Yep. And, you know, but I would say this, Sean Moon isn't totally without connections and resources. Both Steve Bannon and Patriot Prayer founder Joey Gibson show up to one of his events in I think, 2021.
I'll say Steve Bannon is a connection. Joey Gibson.
Yeah, Joey Gibson.
Not so much. Yeah. Not so much.
I bring up Joey Gibson, though, because, well, Joey Gibson and the fact that he controls car arms all make the fact that he shows up to the Capitol on his father's birthday, January 6th, mm-hmm. and helps storm it all the more disturbing.
Yeah, that's good. That makes sense that we were heading there. Yep. At least he had another reason, you know?
Yeah, it's his birthday. That's good. Birthday party.
It wasn't just the Trump stuff. Look, there were a lot of reasons for me to be storming a thing today.
Yeah. Now, a year later, Trump gave a 9/11 speech to a packed mainline unification church event led by Moon's wife. He said, quote, what they have achieved on the peninsula is just amazing. In just a few decades, the inspiration that they have caused for the entire planet is unbelievable, and I congratulate you again and again. So Trump, I said there were six presidents, right, who've either met him or supported his organizations. So mm-hmm. that's Eisenhower, Nixon, George Bush, George H.W. Bush, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump. So this Excellent. Is a wonderful two-party system
again,
we have here.
Absolutely shocked that Clinton was not on there.
Yeah.
Just completely stunned.
This is because Moon hates Clinton. Moon, like when Clinton yeah. when Clinton wins the election, Moon is like, the U.S. has been taken over by Satan, and like leave for a while.
Okay. You know what? That does scan.
Yeah.
Based on the time, that does scan, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And actually, one of the other things that I didn't mention in this was is that the Washington Times are like some of the people who like start the like... So when Hillary does the one good thing she's ever done her entire life, which was advocating for universal health care, they like, that's when they start like a bunch of the like... anti-Clinton like AstroTurf stuff. Yeah. So and to close this out, I'm going to end this episode by reading a list of prominent American conservatives involved with the Moonies in some way or another, either writing for their magazines, working for a front group, giving speeches, or taking their money. David Brooks, Elliot Abram, Pappy Kennan, George Bush, George H.W. Bush, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Mark Pompeo, Mark Esper, Newt Gingrich, Orrin Hatch, Ronald Reagan, Grover Norquist, Jack Abramoff, Richard Viguieri, Ed Fulner, Strom Thurmond, Dinesh D'Souza, Lawrence Tribe, Jerry Falwell, Steve Bannon, Tim LaHaye, Ralph Reed, Beverly LaHaye, Gary Bauer, Gerald Ford, Jack Kemp, and John Podhoretz. And yeah. this is an incomplete list. Like
you're just hitting the hits.
Yeah, and this also does not include anyone from the 12 countries or moon-funded death squads. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's Reverend Moon.
What a great guy. Well, you know what? As a fair man, I'm going to give kudos to a guy who went for it, you know? Good for you, buddy.
He got a bunch of sitting U.S. congressmen and senator to crown him king.
Yeah, like, that is an achievement.
Else has ever done
that
this.
That is an achievement.
No one else.
Yeah. Look... You know what? I got to just give one quiet salute in honor of this man's ambition and ability to somehow have an ass that could cash the kind of checks that he was writing.
Yeah, this man had one glorious dream, and it was dead babies, and he killed a lot of babies.
He killed a lot of babies. He is going to be responsible for the deaths of a lot of babies in the future.
Yep.
And he made some pretty mediocre handguns.
Yeah.
Don't buy a car. Get a number of other guns. Look, if you want a tiny handgun, get a, I don't know, Smith & Wesson Bodyguard or something. You don't buy a car. Well, Chris, thank you for making me sad.
I'm happy too, ?
But I'm also happy because I didn't have to do as much work this week, and I got to learn a story about a cult leader who is, boy howdy, gotta be in our top five.
Yeah, he's a real go-getter.
The money is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's Hubbardian.
So much money. It's
money. It just, oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Thank you, Chris.
Man. And listeners, give me that kind of money, and I promise,
Robert,
I'll fund this was so not... many death squads, like way more death squads than this guy.
Robert.
None of this other distraction bullshit. I'm going to go peer in on the death squads, you know?
Or don't.
That's the Behind the Bastards guarantee.
That is not. Chris, do you have any pluggables
I'm on
for
Twitter
us?
At @itmechr3. Go listen to It Could Happen Here. We're going to do more about the World Anti-Communist League because I only scratched the surface of the horrors. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's the episode. Goodbye and go with Christ, who thinks that Reverend Moon is way smarter than he is. He totally told me that at a dinner party. Jesus.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.